skies had cleared. The Salvation was butting her way into the Atlantic wastes, a white bone of foam under her stem. The captain leaned over the helpless man, who was now recovering consciousness. She stood between his spread feet, swaying to the motion of the ship. The metal tip of her cane was behind her, mere inches from Hill's genitals.
This puking pus dog has been caught for deserting his post in poor weather. His punishment is to be kept here, tied and bare, for all of the night and all of the next day. He is to have no food and only one pan of water at noon tomorrow. Any man speaks to him or goes near him shares his punishment. Hear that well!
Doesn't seem that fire-blasted harsh.
What thou hearest and what happens ain't always the same, matey.
Don't let her do it, friends!
Hill shook his head to clear his mouth of his own blood.
You know what she'll do!
Gag him!
You know! Don't let it...
Now to your quarters! Watch on deck only. Eat well. Tot of rum to every hand, Mr. Ogg. Carry on, men.
She didn't move from where she stood. The men filed dutifully away, down the companionway into the shelter of the forecastle. The cooks trotted off to begin the meal in their cramped galley by the steerage companionway. Ryan was last off the deck, and he hesitated a moment, glancing behind him at the woman's silhouette. But she had turned away from him, her stout walking stick lifted to her shoulders. Even as he stared, she brought the metal tip down with a vengeful force. It didn't take any imagination to know where the vicious blow had been aimed. The rest of the men gathered around Ryan, slapping him on the back for his bravery in going after the armed man. None of them seemed to worry about Kenny Hill's fate, and Ryan shared their lack of concern. Best coward was a chilled one in his view. Hill might get a beating, but it wasn't as though Piraquad was planning to butcher him. The food was terrible. The stew was mainly gristle and splinters and bone, floating in a scummy pool of grease. Mealy carrots and a handful of overcooked beans completed the main course. It was followed by a rusting tin of sweet red jelly that didn't taste like any fruit that Ryan had ever eaten. The whole thing was accompanied with weevilled biscuits and washed down with watery beer.
Why is the meal so terrible, Johnny?
Once we get to the hunting, then the captain allows good meat and all from the locked freezer. Reckons it makes us all the more eager to get out the dories and cast the irons. The better the catch, the better the tucker we get.
Ryan and Don Phil were spared being on deck duty for the night watch. Sailing in untroubled waters, there was normally no more than one man at the wheel and another in the crow's nest, swaying at the top of the mainmast. Shortly after they'd finished the supper, the crew began to bed down for the night. Ryan and Don Phil clambered into their adjoining bunks. Johnny Flynn was across the port side of the forecastle just opposite, and he waved a cheery hand to Ryan, making sure it was the hand without the broken finger. Surrounded by snoring strangers, Ryan eventually managed to get to sleep. Pressure on his bladder woke him. There was no light, but his body clock told him it was around 1 a.m. The steady movement of the ship was now familiar to him. He swung his legs from his bunk, feeling the rough wood cold against his feet, as he padded across to where he could make out the ghostly shape of the stairs to the hatch. Moving with no more sound than a snake's breath, Ryan picked his way up, easing the hatch silently open. He emerged into the darkness of the main deck, just forward of the foremast. It had been explained to him and to Donphil that the bodily functions were normally performed over the side of the ship, taking care to pick the leeward side. Someone else moving on the deck made him check his movements, crouch behind the windlass that drew up the anchor. He glanced up, able to see the bottom of the crow's nest on the mainmast. Whatever happened on the deck immediately below the lookout would be totally invisible from there. And the movement was near the base of the mast, in the lake of shifting shadows, near the place where Kenny Hill was bound naked for his punishment. Ryan began to catfoot nearer. He could see the pale shape of Hill, then something moving in front of it. His first guess was that one of the crew was risking the captain's anger by bringing food or drink to the helpless man. But the punishment seemed mild for the crime, despite the odd feeling in the forecastle. A feeling that Ryan hadn't quite been able to pin down. A strange resignation that Hill no longer existed. The wind had eased, and it was a mild, gentle night. Above the movements of the sails, Ryan could hear someone singing. Not the gagged Hill, not the man at the wheel, since he was snugly undercover.
The first time ever I...
A woman's voice. Now he could see the stocky shape, kneeling near the man, doing something in the shadows that Ryan couldn't see. Piraquad stood up, and Ryan saw the flash of white flesh as she lifted her skirt, tucking it into her belt. Then, like a great vampire bat settling on its victim, she lowered herself, booted legs astride, onto Kenny Hill, rising and falling faster. The song changed to a children's rhyme that he recalled from his own youth in the Shens.
And when they were down, they were down.
Sickened to his stomach, Ryan turned away and left the woman to her perverted pleasures, realizing now that Hill's punishment was indeed much harsher than he'd suspected. He went back to his bunk, but found sleep difficult to reach. Ryan was awoken by Donphil's hand, gripping his shoulder. He blinked his eye open, seeing the lean face close to his. What?
On deck.
What is it?
Come and see. Just been up to relieve myself and I saw it.
Ryan pulled on the heavy sea boots. He glanced around the dimly lit room and saw that nobody else was stirring. There was a chink of light all around the hatch onto the deck, showing it was close to dawn.
Show me.
The deck was deserted as they stepped out into the misty morning. Visibility around the Salvation was less than 100 paces in any direction. There was a pallid opalescent quality to the glowing false dawning.
Where?
The Indian hesitated a moment before shooting out his long arm.
There. Bottom of the mast. Look at him.
You mean Kenny Hill? I can see him. What about... Oh.
Death, once seen, could never be mistaken. Even at a distance of several yards, Ryan knew that the bound and naked seaman was dead.
Best report it to one of the mates. If we get caught with this, we might go over the side with him tied around our necks.
Maybe best we don't say a word, Ryan. Just leave him. Let someone else find the corpse.
Suppose the bitch is watching us. No, don't look around. Suppose she sees us and wants us to sneak away.
Could be, brother. Could be. I guess he died of the cold during the night.
Ryan remembered the dark figure folding itself over the helpless victim, but he kept his own counsel. Their dilemma was solved by the noise of feet behind them. A couple of the crew emerged, yawning onto the deck behind the triworks. Immediately both saw the lolling body, but neither of them seemed surprised. One called down to wake the rest of the men. The other wandered casually to stand by the spread feet of the dead man, spitting beyond the side of the vessel.
Floke's over, matey.
The body was pale, the marks of the ropes and the gagging livid on the skin. Hill's eyes were wide open, staring intently into the far-off mystery of his own passing.
Froze, likely.
Donphil stooped, peered at